the Jose Show. Jose Show.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Jose Show. I'm your host, Jose Roldan Jr. And tonight we have a very special guest celebrity. You can see her in iCarly. She's been in the TV show SWAT with Shamar Moore. She has been in Aquarium of the Dead, The Baby Pact, and Monumental. I'd like to introduce to everybody actress Ava Seha. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
That's good. So, first of all, how was your new year?
It was really quiet, which is good.
Good. Yeah. We just had a friend of mine over. We played board games and that was basically it. Had some pizza and watched the ball drop. And, you know, with New Year's, when you're out and about, you know, a lot of people are out drinking, which that's fine if they want to do it, but they drive and then, you know, I don't feel like getting killed. That's something I just don't like to do.
I think all I did was I listened to records with my boyfriend and he made Dungeness Crab and some crudamonts, and we listened records to a fire. That was pretty much my New Year. This is really nice.
What is crudamonts?
You know, like little snack things. Like we had like
Finger food?
Like red peppers with hummus, hummus.
Okay. I call them finger foods.
Yeah.
So how did you actually get started in acting?
It was just something I always wanted to do since I was really little. My brother wanted to be in the army because we're both army brats. And my dad was an officer at West Point. So we traveled around. I was actually born on base and things like that. But, I think from a really early, early age, my mother and my dad used to let us watch like Turner Classic Movies and all these like films with tap dancing. And I was really into, ballet and tap and jazz and stuff. And then my mother explains it. I was like 3 years old and we were doing this performance for class and the whole class went up on stage and we were going to sing the Rainbow Connection from the Muppet movie as a group. And so everyone on stage and so did I. And so I thought I just walked up to the mic and I adjusted it to my side by myself. And as soon as the music started going, I just started singing into the mic by myself and I would forget words and I would just keep going or I'd make them up. And my mother was just standing there just so proud. She was just like, oh my gosh, my daughter has a solo. And then on the side, the teacher was like freaking out because I did not have a solo. I was just like up there by myself. Ever since then, my mother just had always like put me in plays because I just wanted to be on stage. So, I started out being in musical theater and doing regular theater at the, I did improv when I was like 12 years old. Like I studied improv, at the Pike Place Market Theater in Seattle. So, and then I did theater sports in high school. I did all the plays I directed. I performed at the Seattle Repertory Theater and the Seattle Children's Theater as well when at a really young age. And, I was just obsessed from the very beginning. It's like the only thing I ever wanted to do. And I didn't think about doing film as a career. It was always just theater and dancing and acting and stuff. I didn't really think about doing film until, probably in my 20s when I had a couple friends who would like, let's put you in this thing. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, I had a couple of years where I wasn't doing a lot of theater, but everyone knew that was my thing. And I was kind of down and out. And this is like the December of 2009. And my friend, Nick, I was in a really weird situation. And it was like, I was living in like a trailer house. It was like stupid. And Nick was like, what are you doing with your life? You shouldn't be in this small town. You should be going to LA. He's like, I'm moving to LA in a week. He's like, go find an apartment and put your stuff in the back of my moving van and I'll move you down there. And I was like, oh, and I like really considered it. And I was like, you know what, let's do this. And that's how I ended up in LA was because my friend Nick gave me like a come to Jesus moment.
There you go. Come to Jesus.
Like, I don't know what, he was like, I don't know what you're doing here, but you need to be in LA being a film actress. And I don't know how else to say this, but directly to you. And I was like, oh, so that's kind of what started the film portion of my career.
Well, sometimes friends have to be kind of blunt. So that's basically what he was. He was just like sticking it to you. You got to move. You got to, you want to start your career, you got to go somewhere. So that's actually pretty cool.
I'm really grateful for him. And I think I've told that story a million times, but like, honestly, I don't know if I would have moved to LA if he hadn't just given me like that straight up come to G, like, what, you're wasting yourself here. You need to go and be who you're supposed to be. And I was like, oh shit. You know? But I never took that move for granted, and I've always hustled ever since then, since I moved here. So,
you know, you said something that stuck in my mind. You said you were from Seattle, Washington. If they ever do a reboot of Dark Angel that Jessica Alba was in, you would actually fit the role, because I mean, you just look like, you almost look like her.
I've got definitely a more pronounced nose than Jessica Alba, but
I think you would actually do pretty cool. That would actually be cool to see a reboot. That was James Cameron that did that, and I really liked the show. It's sad that it didn't last very long, but man, if they reboot it, put you in there. I'm going to watch it then. So now, what was the actual first? Because I got your list here. I printed your movies. I just didn't take the time to see which one you were in first. But which one were you in first? And what was the audition like? And how did you actually find out about your first film?
My first professional TV show was Hello Ladies. And I didn't have an agent. I didn't have a manager. And at that point, you could go down to Samuel French, which is now closed on Sunset Boulevard. And they had these books that had all the casting director phone numbers and emails.
Oh, wow.
And you could just call them, which is crazy now. Like, you would never be able to do that now. And this was probably 8 years ago and 8 or 9 years ago. And I got illegal access to the breakdowns by paying this guy like $50 and I would self submit myself as this through this quote unquote agency. And so I would use this booklet, and if I would only submit for roles that I really thought were really good for me. And then I would only call the casting directors if I was like perfect for the role. So, you know, I call and be like, hey, this is Jenny from Rockstar Talent. I'd really like you to see my client, Ava. I think she'd be really great for this role. You know, what time can we get her for an audition? And then, you know, they would go, we'll look at her. And they would either not give me an audition, or sometimes they would. And there was this one for Hello Ladies. They were looking for like a girl who could play like a girl auditioning for a Scorsese film. Scorsese actress, and who could do a really thick New York accent. And I was like, oh, I can do a really thick, I'm really good with accents. And I was like, I can do this. So I called them. I was like, hey, this is Ava, or this is Janet from Rockstar Talent. I'd really like you to be my client. And they gave me an audition for it. So I ended up, I showed up in like sweats, I think. I wasn't dressed anything like special. Cause I was like, oh, it's a girl auditioning for a movie. It's not like she's already in the movie. So, and I went there and all of these girls were all dressed to the nines as if they were in a Scorsese film. And I was like, So then, and it was Hello Ladies was supposed to be a comedy, but the scene, I read it as a drama because she's supposed to really be auditioning for a Scorsese film. So I went in there as if I was, as a very dramatic read. And I did one take and that was it. And they were like, great. And I left. And then I got a call the next day, from the guy that runs the illegal breakdown thing. And he was like, hey, check your messages. And, I booked the role.
Wow.
So I ended up booking the role by myself. And I remember where I was on 6th Street and like, near the Grove. I was like in the middle of the street walking when I got the phone call. And I think I literally stopped in the middle of the street, like fell to my knees and started crying. Cause I was just so excited.
Golly.
So I worked really hard. And, but it was an amazing experience because, Stephen Merchant was my director for it. And I love Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais. I'm obsessed with British television and have since I was really little. So for Stephen Merchant to be my first Hollywood director, I was like freaking out.
That's pretty cool. Now, if you like British shows, do you have BritBox?
I think I do actually on my streaming, but like, I mean, I grew up watching like Red Dwarf and things like that. Like no one would know.
I actually had, was it a couple of months ago, Danny John-Jules who played Cat.
Yes. Did you really? Oh my gosh. I really liked the guy that played Lester. He was like my favorite.
I've tried to get him on, but I couldn't. But Danny John Jules, I talked to him for about an hour and a half. It's really funny.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'll send you, because I broke it down into two episodes, so I'll send you the episodes via email. And he is very organic. So, like, everything he said, it was just from his heart. And, I mean, he is just a very funny guy. So it's funny you said that, Red Dwarf.
That's so funny. Yeah, when I must have been like 10 or 11. And they were doing convention there in Seattle, and I begged my dad to go, and I went, and I got Lester's autograph, and I have it still.
Well, you know, I had a friend of mine that.
Stupid. I'm not even like, I'm not a nerd. Like, I'm not. I don't watch a lot of. I'm not like. I don't like a super fan of too many things, but that's one thing I happen to be I was like a super fan back then.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine, because I used to be in an autograph club. Well, she lived in England, and they were having the entire cast and all the people that were associated with it. So I've got, and all their pictures are on this, all their faces are on this picture, and I've got all their autographs. So it's like 9 autographs. Very rare, very hard to get, but wow, that's pretty cool. But that is amazing. Okay, so let me hear your accent that you did in this movie that they were looking for.
Do you mean like a New York accent? Yeah, it was just like a New York accent, just like a normal, like a New York. Well, it was more New Jersey than anything else, but you know, like it's New Jersey.
That's
you know?
Cool. Now, my wife, she's from New York, so I used to tell her, man, I did not like people from New York because I thought they were kind of rude. And I go, but you're not rude. She just kind of laughed at me.
Yeah, but like, you know, like people, you know, people from Brooklyn or a little like this down here, you know, like, then, you know, they come off rude because they're like, you know, really, you know, straightforward. Yeah.
All right. So the first movie that I seen you in was Aquarium of the Dead, which is done by Asylum. And they make like Mockbusters or what do they call it? They make fun of Mockbusters or something like that. And so what was it like actually acting in a film and seeing these big creatures that that turned into zombies, but they're not really there? So what was it like doing that?
I mean, it was just pretending that they're there and like reacting. It was more that it was during the pandemic, like right after December, after the pandemic, that just the very beginning of January 2021. So everyone was really on high alert. We did so many COVID tests and like, we couldn't have any extras. So, it's so funny. I've seen so many, people review this movie and they're like, where are all the people? And I'm like, it's 'cause COVID.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, but I mean, it was fine. That stuff was really easy to pretend like there's a monster there. I actually thought it was a lot of fun. So
that's cool. As long as you have fun. Now there was I wrote it down. Let me see where I did it. Mr. DC Douglas. You guys seem like you had pretty good chemistry in the movie. What is he like in person?
Oh, I love DC. He's one of my favorite people. I think he's so funny. I think him and I, it was so funny. 'Cause like, during the shoot, like Glenn Miller, who I love and adore, he would always be like, so what do you guys think? And so me, like to do in like a shot. And so me and DC would be like, we have ideas. And so we would always feed him ideas. And so we were kind of this little like collab team. And it was a lot of fun just being able to like collaborate as an actor with your director, kind of, because I've read the script. I know the character and like, hey, you know, my character wouldn't do this. Can we like switch us? So like, for instance, at the end of the movie, I punched DC, right? That wasn't originally in the script. Originally, DC like runs away and he trips and falls. And that's how he ends up in the ambulance to go to the police or whatever. And I was like, Glenn, can we change this? Can I just punch him in this moment? And he goes, yeah, that's a great idea. And I'm a stunt person. So I did like all of that, me climbing the, on the pipes and stuff, like that was all me. I was really swinging the pipes and stuff. And so I was like, okay, DC, this is how we do it. And you just have to react. And he did such a great job reacting. So, I think it made the movie better too. And yeah, we have like a little, Instagram group for Aquarium. 'Cause we also talk to each other. And I'm dating someone I met on the film. So.
Well, you know, it's crazy that you said that you did your stunts. I looked on your bio and you actually study martial arts. That is actually pretty cool. Now, weren't you afraid that you were going to get hurt climbing pipes like that? I mean,
no, I actually, what was really gross, because we did it at the Lane Victory, was all the pipes were really old. And so my hands were just ridiculously black afterwards. And I was just more concerned that I was just going to die from like some sort of bacteria infection, because I don't know how long that grease has
probably
been
there. A long time.
Yeah. So that was what I was more concerned about than anything else.
Now, I also read on your bio that you're going to get a degree in history. Now, you like history. Like, what about history do you like?
I mean, I like all history. I'm getting my master's degree in history right now. So I am doing that. I'm a big advocate for I really like the Civil War, and U.S. history is kind of my focus.
So let me ask you this, Civil War, you know, here lately we've had all the, and I don't normally get political, but I just wanted to ask you this, you know, the Confederacy, the Confederate, are you into that, or are you not into that, or do you agree with the Confederacy? I mean, it's part of history, which a lot of people don't want nothing to do with, but.
Do you mean like the, in terms of like the statues,
well, the statues,
like,
but
that,
even the history behind all the statues and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, essentially, and just to be pretty blunt about this, I mean, what the Confederates did was they committed treason, because they wanted to succeed from the Union, which was already established by the Constitution of the United States. And within the Constitution of the United States, going against the government is like that in that way is treason.
Okay.
So, and I have a lot of respect for Robert E. Lee. I know, as you know, a lot of historians have written books about him, and the relationship he had with Ulysses S. Grant was a wonderful relationship. And Robert E. Lee was actually asked to be a general for the Union.
Really? I didn't know that.
And he decided to go. Yeah, he decided to be a general for the Confederacy because that's where he was from. And, totally get that, but he still committed treason. You know, like the basic bar minimum of like what we're talking about is that the Civil War is the only time in history that the people who lost the war were able to rewrite history. And that is a terrible mistake that had happened. It mostly happened because Lincoln got murdered and Andrew Jackson was able to come into power. And because Andrew Jackson was able to come to power, the Democrats, or what was the Democrat ideology back then, were able to become reinstated into politics again. And they even got all of their land back that was taken from them and given to a lot of the African-American slaves at the time. So the restoration only lasted 3 years because of that. Andrew Jackson ended up getting impeached. He was the first president to get impeached because they actually created that law at the time because he was trying to replace someone in his cabinet. And so what the Republicans did is they created this constitutional law that says if you are president of the United States, anybody in your cabinet, in your main cabinet, you can't fire. And anyone outside of that, sure. So like Trump, when he was like firing all these people around him, he didn't ever fire anyone in his cabinet, which is impeachable. He fired other people it was okay for him to fire.
That's interesting.
Whatever.
See, I never knew that. See it.
So that was the first time that was created. And so, and he ended up, you know, backing down so he wouldn't get completely impeached, but he was pretty much impeached, but not impeached fully to the fullest. Yeah.
Now, do you want to be a history teacher later on, or do you want to continue with acting?
No, I'm still going to do acting. I just have a really big passion for history. I think that not a lot of people actually like care enough about history. I think where we come from is really important, especially for telling stories. You know, as an actor and I produce now for Asylum. So I'm a line producer for them now. I'm working on three projects right now. That's why I was like so busy. You know, as a producer, what I want to do is I want to be able to tell stories. And I'm a big advocate for telling stories that have happened to real people. And because there's so many amazing, rich stories about like indigenous people and African Americans and, you know, the Asian community and the Indian community in America that haven't been told yet. And I'm a big advocate for that. And I think that's just kind of why I wanted to get a history degree. So I just knew that. I also, I'm such a nerd. I really want to take the California State Bar because I'm a big advocate for immigration law. Because that's, I voted for Biden and I appreciate what Biden's doing right now, but I think a lot of his immigration law in any administration has been totally flawed. And I'd really like to see that change. And so in my head, the only way that you could make a change is to be a change. So, I would really like, so in California, you don't have to take, don't have to go to law school. You can just take the bar, but you'd have to have some sort of like history background.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I wanted to do with that and go do like pro bono, practice pro bono immigration law when I, on my, like, if I'm doing a film for like 3 months and then I have a month off, then I can go and like help those who are in incarcerated in detention centers for that.
That is pretty cool. I never knew that. I'm sure every state varies, but man.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But California is really great.
That is crazy. Now, I was looking on your bio on Internet Movie Database. What is the American Bigfoot? Are you into Bigfoot?
It was a movie. It's such a fun, stupid, fun movie that I did with some friends. And I was asked to do it because they needed someone who could do like, who's like tough and could do like a Russian accent. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's me.
You can do a Russian accent too?
And so I submitted and they were like, oh my gosh, you're the person. I had so much fun. And it was silly fun. So, I actually don't, my character has nothing to do with the Bigfoot. I'm just like a bodyguard to this one guy. And I got to do a lot of improv too. So
it's funny that I saw that because do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
Okay. I'll have to sit.
but I think it's fun. It's a very Pacific Northwest.
I have an episode that I recorded back a little over a year ago where this lady actually encountered several Bigfoot, Big Feet, whatever you want to call them. And it's really creepy. So you listen to that story, it kind of gives you a little bit of insight if these creatures do exist, what it's like. So I don't want to give it away. You just got to listen to it. And if you believe in aliens, I got an episode about that too.
Well, I mean, it's what's that quote? It's just an awful waste of space in the universe. So, you know, there are probably intelligent life somewhere, but who knows? And I'm more worried about, like, you know, getting COVID than I am aliens right now.
Yeah, my wife had COVID. My daughter had COVID. Pretty much my ex-family had COVID. So a lot of people have had COVID. Oh, that's crazy.
I have not gotten COVID.
Knock on wood.
Yet. I'm fully vaccinated and boosted too. So, but yeah, I actually did a movie in Florida and I shared a bed, with one of the girls. Cause we were just, you know, she's my best friend. So we just shared this big king bed. She got COVID and I was freaked out that I was going to get it. And, I didn't at all. I took so many tests and never got it. So COVID's weird, man. I don't know how it works, but I'm really grateful
that you didn't get it.
I have a good immune.
Now, what part of Florida were you at?
Yeah. We were in Tampa.
Really? I live literally 25 miles from Tampa.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. It was, I'd never been to Florida. It was an experience. And it was June. I was producing my first film for Asylum called Megabo, which is out in theaters right now, which is awesome.
Really?
And a little crazy. It was with Eric Roberts and my best friend, Michelle O'Shea, plays the lead. She's beautiful and awesome. And the cast was amazing. We had a really great time and, I'm really proud of it because it was my first film and I think it did it.
Eric Roberts is, cause I was going to ask you about Eric Roberts. He's a good actor. I've seen him in several films and I like his acting.
Yeah. He's really great in this. If there's one thing to say about Robert, he's an amazing actor.
Now, with all the films that are going on, the different film companies, what does the Asylum do? Do they require the vaccine or do you have to get tested? You know? Okay.
Yes. We're very COVID compliant. It's one thing my bosses are very adamant about. We really don't hire people who are not vaccinated. It's a safety protocol and I totally agree with it. And I mean, I understand that people, you know, they don't have to get the vaccine and that's totally fine, but it's just, that means that we don't necessarily, it just for the safety of other people.
Oh, I understand that.
So
yeah, you gotta be safe. So that makes sense. No, it's perfectly.
Yeah. I think it's just, I mean, all the studios are doing that right now. They're all requiring you to have be vaccinated. So it's just a safety protocol. They're trying to cover their butts. Cause like, what if, you know, someone gets COVID and then you're all, everybody else is compromised. It's just,
then you got to shut down production. Then that takes time, cost money. So yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Before you go, do you have any final thoughts, any advice, and then share your social medias and then I'll take over from there.
I don't know. Final thoughts. I don't know. I have any final thoughts. What was the other question?
Final thoughts. Do you have any advice, for anybody that wants to be an actor, actress, anything?
So this is my advice. There's one thing that I really love to do. Is I really like to help other actors. I've helped other actors get agents and help them with like their branding and stuff like that. Completely for free, because it's like when I first started out, like I had no idea about this stuff. And so I try to give as much information I can to my other fellow actors in this community, because I feel like if you don't share your wealth of knowledge, then you're just doing a disservice. Yeah. And it's a little selfish. I mean, this isn't a competition, this area of work. It's literally, if you create a community, then, you'll get a community back, and it's just really helpful. But my advice is like to be really opening, encouraging to other actors, especially in their success. There are a lot of people who will try to be negative with you and take advantage or you know, don't applaud you for your success. And I think that's just doing yourself a disservice as well as other people in the community. I'm very adamant about being very excited about being with people and surrounding myself with people who are successful and engaging in their success and always being grateful for their success, because, you know, one day that'll be me and I'll want someone to praise my success and how hard I've worked. And I think another great advice is that this business sucks. I mean, it literally sucks. It's something that one day you'll get all of these auditions and then you'll book something. And then, you know, 6 months of nothing, you get nothing for 6 months. And it's just this back and forth with your ego, with your emotions and things like that. So it's just something that you have to be like very mentally prepared to just be here for the longevity of your life.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you basically kind of have to give your soul to acting in this film industry, because if you're not willing to do that and you're trying to give yourself like I'm going to give myself 5 years to become an actor, it's not going to happen. You know, Morgan Freeman didn't even get his first start until he was in his 50s. And he started when he was in his early or his
Morgan's
late
20s. A good actor.
Yeah, he's a fantastic actor, but it's like, sometimes it's not about your talent. Sometimes it's about what Hollywood's looking for at the time, how you market yourself. Are you marketing yourself as other people see you, not as you want to be seen? Mm-hmm. You know, like the way that people my agents market me is different sometimes than like I have this like girly personality, but at the same time, like, I kind of go out for these tough roles.
That's good. Nothing wrong with that.
So it's just like, there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to know how other people see you so that you start to get typecast, and getting typecast is very important. And I know people say that that's another superstition, that you don't want to get typecast, but you want to get typecast. I mean, even people like Jennifer Lawrence gets typecast all the time. She usually plays the character that, you know, she's got the right idea, but no one's willing to listen to her until the very end, or she's trying to fight for the right, for this cause, you know, that's what she did for Don't Look Up. That's what she did in those movies about
I haven't seen much of her work. It's been a while.
Yeah. But I mean, it's almost every movie where she's like that. I mean, even, the one she did with Bradley Cooper, she kind of plays that like, hey, here's what the deal is. And he's not really listening to what she has to say. And at the end you find out, she's correct in her vigilance. It just, that's the, Winter's Bone is just like that too, you know? But it's like, once you start to see people in all these different roles and you really start to see that, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's typecast all the time and he thrives on good. That. Tom Cruise is typecast and he thrives on that. And you want to see Tom Cruise for what Tom Cruise does.
He's amazing like, in Mission Impossible.
He's really great. He's the hero and you want to see him win. And you know, that's his typecasting. It's great. So I encourage if you're an actor, you want to try to get typecast. Like it's such a great time. Like Steve Buscemi typecast. Everyone is typecast.
He is.
And that you want to be able to like be the guy that people call. You're like, oh, we need a guy who's this. Oh, let's just call blah blah blah. You know,
Steve that's what you looks kind of weird.
Yeah, but he works all the time because that's his.
I think stick. He's funny.
You know, you need to have a shtick.
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 And do you have any social media you want to share?
Yeah, my social media is really, really generic. It's just my name, so it's just EVACEJA. That's on Instagram and Twitter. I'm not really on anything else. That's it. I just have those basic ones.
Nothing wrong with that. And if anybody wants to get a hold of the Jose Show, you can go to Facebook, do a search for the Jose Show, and you'll find a group and a page. And then on, let me see, Instagram, I am the Jose Roldan, and on Twitter, I am at Jose Roldan Jr. And tonight we were talking with Ava Seha, and I really appreciate you being on the show, and it's been an honor. You know, I love doing this and never thought I would do it, and it's just I like to see how people react. I like to see their bubblingness. They're full of life. So everybody that I've interviewed has been full of life, and I appreciate you really being on the show.
Good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And be sure to share this episode with your friends, family, and your enemies because they may no longer be your enemies. Thank you once again.
Thanks for listening to The Jose Show. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And see you next time on The Jose Show.